Welcome to another edition of the Texans Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Lane, Managing Editor of the Texans Wire, where this podcast is hosted. You can find this podcast as well as the latest Texans news and rumors at TexansWire.com. Also, that's where Anthony Wood is a contributor, and you can check out his work there. Of course, he has been doing a fantastic job hosting the Texans Talk podcast, so I commend him for that. On today's podcast, we'll hear from Deshaun Watson, as we were able to catch up with him as he took part of Gatorade's Beat the Heat program at the YMCA of Greater Houston on Wednesday. And we'll also go ahead and talk about organized team activities. So that's what we've got lined up on this edition of the Texans Talk Podcast. So before we go ahead and get to Deshaun Watson, I do want to talk about Texans OTAs. I was at OTAs on Tuesday, and they had it inside the bubble, which I was thankful for, considering the fact that I was wearing all black. But I knew that I would be out in the Houston sun, so that's why I didn't include the sport coat. If I would have had any kind of foreknowledge that they were going to have it inside the bubble, then I would have included the sport coat, but, you know, I didn't. So I was in all black, and everyone was like, oh, you're lucky. They had it inside the bubble. I was like, well, I figured if I was outside, you know. So, anyway, they had it inside the bubble. Here's the deal with OTAs. As Bill O'Brien calls them, they're basketball on grass. You know, football is a sport where I know quarterbacks are the face of everything, but it comes down to the trenches. It comes down to what the big uglies do hitting one another that really determines the success of the skill position. So it's kind of like a trickle down effect. Because the trenches can't hit each other, then you can't really evaluate what they're doing, because the backs and linebackers also have an element of hitting in their game. You can't really evaluate what they're doing outside of what they do in pass coverage and stuff, and in the receiving game. So it really comes down to, like a 7-on-7 situation. It's how do the quarterbacks and receivers look, and how do the cornerbacks and safeties look. And that's pretty much what OTAs comes down to. But then here's why, throughout the course of the offseason, why what happens in OTAs and everything, as great as it is and all that, it ultimately, it's you really can't tell what's going on with the team until training camp, until the first couple of preseason games, because then the injuries in some regards start to pile up. Those cornerbacks and receivers that you thought were going to do so well have hamstring injuries or whatever, and then they don't have the availability that you were looking for. And so then that's when the complication starts to figure in, and then you really start to know where you're at in terms of how teams look. Okay, but right now things are looking great for the cornerbacks and the receivers during organized team activities. And one guy that's looked real well and who had a good showing during week 3 of organized team activities was cornerback Jermaine Kelly. Now, I believe he was a 6th-round pick last season in the 2018 NFL draft. He wasn't able to play much. So, you know, last year he was just someone that they kind of stashed. But now he has the opportunity with Kareem Jackson gone, with Kayvon Webster gone, And with Sherrisse Wright out of the way, you know, he has a chance to show a little something, or to figure into the Texans' plans when it comes to their cornerback situation. And he made a nice play in the 2-minute drill, where he had a one-handed toe-tapping interception on the sideline that got the entire defense to run out onto the field and into the end zone and take him pose for pictures and all that. So he has had, I would say, a really good OTA. He's made an impression. But it's all about the consistency. Because, yes, that, you know, he's taking advantage of the opportunities. But, again, can this sustain in training camp? Will he have good fortune in terms of availability? Or is something going to crop up and happen, and then there you go, he misses time, and then so what? Jermaine Kelly was just another May story, and now no one cares anymore, and the Texans have to come up with a new strategy. Not saying that he figures into their strategy for the secondary, but in terms of what weapons they have available. But so far, so good for Jermaine Kelly. Also, here's the deal. With DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller not taking part in on-field activities at OTAs, you know, in terms of individual portion and the drills and so forth, that means that reps trickle down to the rest of the receiving core. And that is a great opportunity for guys like Johnny Dixon, who are undrafted free agents. So instead of having someone like Joe Webb throw them the ball during drills, they get a chance. They get more chances to have Deshaun Watson toss them the ball. And that's helpful because as a receiver, you want to have all of the other elements as perfect as they can be so that you can show your ability, so you don't have to worry about some of the other factors. And if you have Deshaun Watson throwing your ball, you know, you have more opportunities to have good tape for the coaches to look at when it comes to evaluation. So that's been the positive in not having Hopkins and Fuller out there, is it does allow for greater evaluation of the younger receivers. And also, here's someone who's going to benefit the most from it, is Kiki QT, because now he gets the chance to work with Deshaun Watson and build up that trust and that connection. Hey, in 6 games, you know, QT just didn't have the type of, he just didn't produce, he didn't have the production that he would have liked. But hey, when you're only playing 6 games, 7 if you include the playoff game, but you're only playing 6 games here and there throughout the season because of hamstring problems going all the way back to training camp, it just, you're not going to be able to build that connection with the starting quarterback. It's very difficult to do. But he had flashes, such as the Week 4 game at the Indianapolis Colts, you know? So the talent is there, the production is there. If the availability is a lot better than it was in 2018, then Kiki QT is someone that definitely will become one of Deshaun Watson's favorite targets. But so that's why now, even though it's OTAs, even though it's basketball and grass, that's why it's so important for QT to have those reps that would have otherwise gone to Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, because now he can utilize them and he can build that connection with Deshaun Watson. Another one that benefits is Vincent Smith. Here's a guy who was an undrafted free agent. He had a few catches and plays, notably in Philadelphia, after Demaryius Thomas blew out his Achilles. He had some moments there, all right, where, you know, you saw the potential, you saw the flashes of potential, but he's still, like it or not, in a battle at the bottom of the roster. When I say bottom of the roster, I'm talking about in terms of the 53-man roster, your game day activation, you know, 45-man roster. That's what I mean when I say that. And he's not at the bottom of the roster in terms of the 90-man, but because you have to essentially have, you know, cut in half the roster as it is, he's going to have to go against the likes of Johnny Dixon and just have to demonstrate that he still belongs, he's still got potential, don't give up on him. So he's another one that benefits from not having the top two receivers out there. Again, so that's all pretty much you can evaluate during organized team activities and even into veteran minicamp is are the skill position, are, you know, the 7-on-7, just anyone involved in the passing game, offense or defense, because the rest of it is there's no hitting, it's all mental, which is why, you know, Mike Devlin, the offensive line coach, is encouraged by what he's seen thus far out of Max Sharping and out of Titus Howard because of their ability to recognize what's going on with Romeo Crennel's, you know, defensive schemes. So they haven't been tripped up that way, but still they haven't taken on any hits. It's still difficult to evaluate what the Texans have along the offensive line because, you know, no one is allowed to hit. Same thing with the defensive line. Charles Omenihu, what do they have? Carlos Watkins, what exactly do they have? You can't really know because there's no hitting yet. But in terms of the defensive line, in terms of edge rushers, Jadeveon Clowney's name comes up in this regard. Next week is veteran minicamp. That it's mandatory. That means the team can fine Clowney if he does not show up. So it'll be that. So now you'll start to see more talks and rumors and everything of what Jadeveon Clowney is going to do and where the Texans are at and blah, 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 because now money is a factor in terms of more of a punitive action, but still it's a factor. You'll hear more about what's going on with Clowney as we ramp up towards veteran minicamp. So you want to check that out. You want to bookmark TexansWire.com. You want to see what we have to report on that. And it's almost here. After this, after the doldrums that come after veteran minicamp, then it starts to ramp up, folks. Football will be back. Training camp. Unbelievable. It's just, you know, it's felt like that anymore with where we're at with football, with it being a sport that goes year-round almost, they stop playing games, you know, in February with the big game, but the season has never ended. That's what it feels like anymore with the NFL. But that's the way that we want it, let's be honest, because the NFL does make the sporting world more fun. So, way to go. I'm glad that it's now a year-round sport, even though they only play 16 consequential games, maybe, you know, about three more if you're lucky, if your team is lucky. But that's it. We sail through the doldrums that come after veteran minicamp, and then it's back, baby, and we're all looking forward to that. So one of the questions that comes in 2016, going back in the past, in 2019, one of the questions that comes up is how Deshaun Watson can avoid getting hit. He took 62 sacks last season, the most in the NFL. What are the Texans going to do to fix that? Well, that was something that we asked Deshaun Watson at Gatorade's Beat the Heat program, a program that they've been doing for 15 years now, where they've partnered with various NFL players to educate kids, parents, coaches on the importance of staying hydrated during these summer months as kids go out and engage in physical activity. So, yes, we want kids to go outside and have fun in the summer, but we don't want kids to overheat. And Gatorade, that's why they've introduced the Beat the Heat program, why they've kept it going for 15 years is for that exact reason. So Deshaun Watson took part in a little camp that they had at the YMCA of Greater Houston. It was supposed to be outdoors, you know, the heat, but it was raining, and this is the second consecutive year that it's actually rained during this event that Deshaun has been a part of. So I think that they should change it to Gatorade's Beat the Wet program. I'm joking. But he played with the kids, and he played catch with them. It was a lot of fun. We have an article on that at TexansWire.com. You want to go check that out. But we also got to catch up with the Pro Bowl quarterback of the Houston Texans right here on the Texans Talk Podcast. All right, Mark Lane here with Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun, what does it mean to be out here with the kids today as part of Gatorade's Beat the Heat program and, you know, just get to play with them?
It's a blessing to be able to be here and share, you know, the Beat the Heat Foundation with the Gatorade and our campaign to show them and tell them about hydration. Hydration is very important. Regardless if you're an athlete or you're not, you got to be able to stay that. Your body got to be able to operate at a high level, and if you stay hydrated, you can do that. So it's cool to be able to, you know, share that advice and also be able to participate in the drills with them too.
And finally, a football question. So Carl Smith yesterday said that it's the responsibility of the offense, of the offensive line, of the receivers, and of the quarterback to protect the quarterback. So how do you feel like you could mitigate against the sacks and hits that you took in 2018?
That happened in 2018, so we're not really focused on that. But the biggest thing is finding ways to be able to, you know, get the ball out, you know, more quick. If you get the ball out before the defensive lineman can touch me, then we all are, you know, pretty happy and no one get touched.
Deshaun, thank you for your time. Appreciate you. And that's something that if you go back and listen to the Ross Tucker podcast, I just promoted the Ross Tucker podcast. If you go back and listen to the podcast that he did with Anthony Wood, you'll hear him talk about how he doesn't think Mike Devlin's a bad offensive line coach. He thinks some of the sacks were on Watson, and that's something that the Texans are going to have to clean up are the hits, but also, the offensive line has to do their job. They've got to get better personnel in there. The receivers have to get open and so forth. But Watson also has to know when to throw the ball. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that they asked Charles O'Minihue, maybe I could pull that up. I got the sound. They put me on the transcript for that, for Charles O'Minihue at the Combine. Maybe I should go play that somewhere. But one of the things, they were asking him about Kyler Murray and what he does so well. And what O'Minihue said is that Murray does a great job of you know, sort of falling into the hits, leaning into the hits, positioning his body in such a way that when he goes to the ground, it minimizes the impact of it. And that's really what you have to do for a slight quarterback like him, yes. But even for a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, who's not slight, not even in an RG3 type way, that's still something you got to do. Is you have to find ways to minimize the hits, to curtail the impact. And if the Texans can do that by having Deshaun throw the ball away more, it's really recognizing when to throw the ball away and stuff that really should help Watson in not sustaining those types of hits. I mean, you look at a guy like Big Ben, he's, you know, 6'6", and he takes those types of hits as he has his whole career. No wonder he's missed time and so forth. For someone like Watson, he's not like Big Ben to where he can absorb those types of hits throughout a career. So that's why you have to start now in terms of being able to get it to help him comprehend when to throw the ball away, when to use all the tricks in the book to try to extend and keep plays alive. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops with the Texans, but the fruits of it will not be seen, I don't think, until the action is live in September. So that wraps it up for this edition of the Texans Talk Podcast. Come back tomorrow at TexansWire.com. It's the best place right now to find us for the Texans Talk Podcast. But come back tomorrow because Anthony Wood will be talking with John Harris, the sideline reporter, on the Houston Texans radio network. You don't want to miss it. It'll be right here on the Texans Talk Podcast. So thanks for listening. Endeavor to persevere.